Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Hey guys, your intro to your segments really sucked. Childish, unprofessional, a lot of yelling and screaming. How about growing up, huh?
Howard Simon. Jeremy White.
Whee!
On WGR.
High five and slapping butts.
Sports Radio 550.
Happy Friday, everybody. Getting you ready for the Bills game tonight in Detroit. Detroit here on WGR. 803-0550 to join us as we talk about playing time and Josh Allen and should he play tonight at all. You can share your thoughts on that. Whatever else is on your mind, you can do that too. Jace tweeted in a little off topic, but I'm thinking two preseason games, two joint practices with those opponents, like how they did two joint practices with Carolina before their game. One home game, one away game. Yeah, it's entirely possible. I think you would get a number of coaches who would sign off on that. We mentioned Doug Peterson. Saw a story from him. They had a, I don't remember who the joint practice was with, maybe Baltimore, and he said he prefers that over the game. He gets more out of the joint practices than the game. You could do exactly that, slice off the last two games, and you could play joint. You could have joint practices instead of those last two games. Or you could do it and then still play. But yeah, I could absolutely see them slicing off a couple of the preseason games and substituting a scrimmage or a joint practice with that to really practice some things they need to work on. Let's get to some calls, too.
Oh, quick note, by the way, before the calls. The Bisons tonight? Or is it tonight or tomorrow? When's Craig Revay?
Tonight is Revay.
Tonight, Revay, yeah. first pitch. Did you mention that?
No, I didn't.
Craig Revay throwing the first pitch.
I can't wait to see this. I'm not going to get to the game tonight, but I would hope, I'm sure the Instigators will send out the video.
Yeah.
The Bisons will. Somebody will. I need to see him on the mound.
You think he's practicing?
He said yesterday he was going to throw like a couple to his son. That was about it. He's bringing the heat. That's the plan. So I need you to, first off, he's got to throw off the mound, and you can't bounce it. The only other option is if you're going to like, if you're not worried about accuracy, but you just want to throw it as hard as you can, Bull Durham, hit the mascot. Don't hurt the mascot, but I just think it'd be kind of funny if he knocked the mascot down like the scene in Bull Durham with Nuke LaLoosh. That'd be kind of funny.
All right. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew that. Thanks to Bub in Kansas.
You're
for
a former mascot. Maybe you would take that personally.
When was I a mascot?
I swear to God, I always thought you donned the hat at once in Auburn. No? When you worked for the team, you weren't a fill-in or something?
No.
Well, I thought you did an emergency fill-in mascot.
No. When I worked for the Double Days, I was a peanut vendor.
I thought you had to fill in one night. Like you actually had to put the outfit and the head on and stuff.
No. I one time looked in the mascot head because the guy that was the mascot used to talk about how terrible it was and say, like, really, put this on. And you would put the head halfway on and just, no, I can't. No, thank you. So never. But as a former first pitch thrower, you and I both have experience throwing a first pitch.
From the mound.
Yes.
Right? We did it from the mound, and all of us, Hager too, none of us bounced.
Right.
We all made it to the catcher on
the fly. I didn't bounce. I threw a breaking ball that was, you know, diving in the dirt by design.
Yeah, it was a cutter, I think it was, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Trying to fool the batter. I think I threw the fastball, and it probably went like 45 miles an hour.
Anyway. To the calls. Daniel Jones preseason, 25 of 30, 369, and two touchdowns.
Controversy. No? Maybe Daniel Jones starts against the Bills in week two. How fun would that be?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, let's take some calls. We want to talk Bills football
with
you.
What if Eli gets benched in week one?
That'd be pretty hilarious. Mike in Lancaster, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
All right, check this out. NFL season. Start with 16 games. All right, you get two preseason games. Every team gets two byes. You get two extra teams in the playoffs. You get one more round of playoffs. So that takes care of the 2 weeks right there. 60-man rosters, 53 on game day, and you get 10 practice squad. So that's a total of 70. I think that covers everything. You could even start training camp a week early. That way you can get your joint practices in. What do you think, guys?
Well, the the season, expanding the season might be tough because the players will be very leery of the 18 games. But I think you mentioned expanding playoffs. One of the things I read this morning, if they slash two preseason games, and the owners will be unhappy because they lose the revenue, that one way to try and gain some of that revenue back is to expand the playoffs, to have, I assume, 14 teams in it, seven in each conference, and add another weekend of playoff action to create some more revenue to try and make up for the shortfall you lose from the preseason games. Because unless they start, they could do more. Well, they would charge for scrimmages, right? Yeah, when the Steelers or the Browns would scrimmage the Bills, they charge for that stuff. Probably not full price, but the key thing is the owners are going to make up some kind of revenue for not having preseason games. Everybody would lose a home preseason game. So how are you going to make that up? I don't know about extending the schedule, but I think the players would probably sign off on expanded playoffs and you'd have another wild card weekend. I don't know how you'd structure it, but there'd be an additional weekend before you get, right? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah. So you could see that. They're not having four preseason games next year. Bank it. I'm telling you right now.
Confident.
I'm confident they're not having.
Because
the coaches have spoken.
Okay.
And at some point, look, the fans know what it is. You're a season ticket holder. You know exactly what you're paying for. You know you're not paying for, quote, real football, but it comes with your season ticket package, and your choice is
it's forced on your season ticket package.
If you don't want to buy preseason games, you don't get season tickets. You don't have really a choice. That is your choice, actually,
right?
So you know what the deal is. You know what you're paying for. You know, and of course, you wouldn't be upset if they didn't play any starters anyway, because that's your opinion on this stuff. I'm confident. So the fans don't want to pay for the games, but by and large, have no choice. It's the coaches. At some point, right, people are going to start going, hey, there, Roger Goodell, have you noticed your coaches around the league not playing starters all the time? Never before have we seen this kind of we're sitting guys routine in the preseason. Never. So if
not
the coaches.
Not with this degree of the number of players.
Quarterbacks,
right,
at the very least. But beyond that, the wide receivers, the running backs, the skill players are not taking snaps in an entire preseason. So if this is the direction the league is heading in, I mean, the fans are already angry about paying full price for preseason anyway. Now they're going to pay full price for preseason games, and all these starters are not playing? The league has to do something. They've got to change it. The coaches went bananas about a freaking non-pass interference call. Go tell the league to stop playing four preseason games and set up more joint practices and scrimmages. I'm confident they're going to change this. It's a waste of time. More than ever.
Yet, if all that's true, wouldn't they have gone to three by now?
The
fourth preseason game has been nothing for 10 years? It's been
longer than that. It was nothing when Marv was here coaching the Bills.
So we're on 15 years, 20 years,
20 years,
30
at
years.
It's probably, yeah, it's 30 as
years
long as I can remember, the fourth game was.
Of the fourth game right. being nothing.
It's the baseball
and
cap
we're,
game.
And we're still sitting here with it.
Right. But
we're still sitting here watching teams sign a guy off the street to play in the fourth game and then cut him 3 days later.
But look what you've seen this summer. Okay, this is the preseason, right? This is what it has been. First game, starters play a series or two. Second game, they play a quarter. Third game, they play a half, maybe into the third quarter. Fourth game, they don't play. Okay, this year in the first two games, starters are not playing. Right from the get-go, the first preseason game of the year, Marone sits like a third of his roster the first two games. As we said, 12 starting quarterbacks didn't play at all in the first two games. That's when they get a handful of snaps, right? So the coaches have taken a large number of them, have taken a different approach. Heck, even McDermott, in the second game of the preseason, they still only played the starters two series. Coaches have taken a different approach to the preseason this year. They're not doing the gradual steps of first game, second game, third game, the dress rehearsal game. Guys are sitting out all over the league in the dress rehearsal game. Some teams are sitting 20, 25, 30 players for the supposed dress rehearsal game. So this is just an exercise in futility to continue playing four games. It's a sham. It always has been a sham. Now it's a bigger sham. It's a Travis Sham mockery is what it is. It's Friday and I took an energy drink. I'm a little loopy today.
Meanwhile, tomorrow we've got Florida and the U.
That game counts.
For anyone that is tuning in maybe for the first time hearing me say that I think the preseason is completely worthless and unnecessary and meaningless and you gain nothing. The U and the Florida Gators have not had a preseason, and the Florida Gators will put their national championship hopes on the line tomorrow night in their season opener. You lose that game, you come out flat, see ya.
It's tough. Not impossible.
So these are players that are less experienced. Mm-hmm. They are younger. They are less mature. And the game means more than any single NFL game will mean. This one game for Florida.
Well, it doesn't destroy your season. You could run the table and still be in the national
championship
picture.
But this one game is a difficult start. It's more meaningful than any single NFL game that will be played this year.
Sure, there's little wiggle room in college
football. One loss is much more damaging in college football than it is in the pros. These guys will roll out with no preseason, and they will play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Right? And most college teams, all college teams, will roll out of the gate right away. Texas and Ohio State have played to open the season. Mm-hmm. Biggest game of the year is your opener.
Clemson plays
Texas A&M in week two.
Oh, week two. Okay.
Week two.
Gotcha.
And then Syracuse in week three. But, you know, college teams do it. And you could say, well, they have scrimmages, they have practices. Okay, well, keep doing those. You know, keep doing those, I guess. You're always going to run a little bit of a risk with injury when it comes to playing football. But
Not if you ran joint practices and scrimmages.
Here's part of the point.
With the quarterback.
Why are there no two-a-days anymore?
Because they were worried about the health of the players.
Why have the players bargained for limited numbers of off-season practices, OT? Right. The reason all of this happens is because everybody acknowledges the risk involved in football. And the only thing that is left is this dinosaur preseason that is nothing more than a chance for the league and the owners to make money off of a worthless product. Yeah. That's the only reason it exists is the money.
Yeah.
If they could monetize joint practices the same way they can these games that nobody cares about, then they would switch to it.
I wonder.
This is all driven by the dollar, which, you know, I get that. I understand. The league is driven by the dollar. The sports are. Businesses are. We are. So I don't have a problem with the concept of, you know, if you're trying to tell me the league does it because they make money, trust me, I know.
You know, yeah.
But don't try to convince me that there's any value in it because I'm just not going to get there. I watch players get hurt. I watch, you know, complete zeros put up big numbers, and all of a sudden we got to talk about whether or not that guy's a real, ooh, maybe he's got a chance to make the roster. Maybe Nathan Peterman's, he wins the job. Like,
hey, he threw for 210 yards and two touchdowns. Don't trash Peterman.
Maybe he's learning. Yeah. Over and over again, we get fake results that don't do anything. Josh McCown goes from television analyst on August 12th to 114 quarterback rating with a team he didn't play for. In 10 days.
Yeah.
How important is the preseason if Josh McCown can walk in and light up the Ravens defense? Right? Okay.
Nice throw.
It's just about making money off of players that you don't have to pay the normal rate. And you get effectively face value for these tickets. Now, what you might say, well, take the money you're spending on 10 games and make it 8 games and have the 2 preseason games be free. You know, that's just moving the money around, and that's effectively the same thing. But at least my ticket wouldn't say, you know, $52 or whatever it is. The preseason exists to dilute the cost of your ticket over 10 instead of over 8. So, oh, your cost per game is actually this. You know, the reality is it's 20% higher than that.
So how does it get a chance
to spread it out and make it look lower.
So how does it change? See, here's
it probably doesn't because it's a really nice cover for the league to dilute costs of the ticket buying public and to make more money from television sponsorships, all the stuff that they get in the preseason.
Could the coaches came together and got a significant rule change this past offseason, right? The coaches came together and convinced the owners to put in a rule change in regards to pass interference. Why couldn't the coaches come together and go to the owners and say, hey, fellas, and I know why, it's somewhat a rhetorical question because the owners make money and charge full price, but why can't the coaches go to the owners and say, hey, look, we're tired of risking injury on these guys. You need to change your preseason format. You need to chop 2 games off and go to no more than 2 preseason games. Let me do a scrimmage. Let me do joint practices. Stop playing games because you know what? I'm going to rest even more and more starters next year if you keep playing 4 preseason games. Why can't the coaches do that?
They could.
They got together for a rule change. Why can't they change this?
When coaches in the NBA started sitting players in the regular season, the league kind of wanted to talk about that, right? They started fining Greg Popovich.
I was going
to
say, Popovich was like the first guy, I think, who did that, right?
And they would step in because it was a network game. It was on ABC.
TNT or something.
And
yeah,
our
right.
partners expect right. you to play your best players.
But other guys now followed what Popovich did.
Mm-hmm.
And the league ends up going, yeah, we get it. And now the league ends up playing with its schedule or changing its schedule to help quote-unquote load management issues. So why not? Let the coaches, you know, maybe they can't. Maybe the owners could give two craps. They only care about making all the money they make off the season or the ticket sales for the preseason. Maybe it wouldn't work. But why? I think that's where you have to get it. You have to have the coaches convince the owners this is best for their team. The idea of playing less games, sitting these guys and not at the very least exposing your quarterback out there, or they say to the owners, hey, look, we're just going to sit more starters. And then you're going to catch more crap from your fan base because nobody's playing in these games.
Want the stat of the day?
Yes, and I've got a trivia question for you and Kramer.
What do you want first? The stat of the day?
The stat of the day.
Okay,
yeah.
Let me find it. Sid sent me the stat of the day, and it is, you know, every once in a while we get these stats of the day that are, you'll want to hear it twice because you can't even believe it. So this is something that hopefully Josh Allen will put to bed because this is a stat about Bills quarterbacks, okay? Sid wrote to me, how bad is the Bills quarterback situation been since Jim Kelly left? Drew Brees left the Chargers 14 years ago.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah. It's 14 years ago. Brees in San Diego alone has more attempts, completions, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, and wins than any Bills quarterback since Jim Kelly. 14 years ago, he left.
Sandy, yeah, right, and still has more attempts.
He has more of all of that than any Bills quarterback since Jim Kelly.
Well, nobody lasts around here.
I know, well, right. Fitz challenges.
Who's played the longest since Jim Kelly? Fitz has the most games?
I think, right? Fitz had 50 games with the Bills.
Yeah, right. That would have been more than JP and Trent and anybody. EJ for sure, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah, nobody stays around here for more than two, three years on the job in terms of starting quarterbacks.
Brees, with the Chargers, played 59 games and threw 80 touchdowns.
Boy.
That was 14 years ago, and no Bills quarterback in 14 years has beaten out 80 touchdowns as a career for a Bill.
80 touchdown passes would take how many games now for a Bills starting quarterback to reach?
Hopefully Josh Allen gets there by the end of his
2021
third year.
Yeah. Or 2020, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is year two. Yeah.
He had 10 last year, so can he get
70
he gets,
in
if
two
he gets
years,
70
not,
in 2 years.
I would love
like
him
I,
to get
like
70.
Like I said, hopefully he gets there by the end of his third year. If he's there, guess what? He's not playing in the preseason.
No, he's reached a different status.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He has reached that. Well, take the month off.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks. All right, Derek, fire it up. I was thinking about passing touchdowns. It's good that you did this for your stat of the day. Fellas, did you know, this is not the full trivia question, but did you know that a different quarterback has led the league in passing touchdowns each of the last 7 years? We have had no repeat guys in the last 7 years. But I'm testing your knowledge beyond that.
Oh.
We're going back to 2000, actually. 11 different quarterbacks have led the NFL in passing touchdowns in a season since 2000. 11 guys, 7 in each of the last 7 years. Let me get the 11 guys from you.
11?
11 different players leading in touchdown passes in a season since 2000.
Okay. Mahomes.
Mahomes from last year. Very good.
Brady.
Brady in 2015 and actually before that too. Very good.
Manning.
I assume you mean the guy with the P in his name. Peyton in 2013. Very good.
Breeze.
Breeze in 2012 and others.
All right. Now we just, Derek, what do? We guess guys that probably did?
So you're missing three guys in this group of 7 in the last 7 years, and then we got to go back before that.
All right. Let's see here.
Did Ben Roethlisberger do it?
I feel like Roethlisberger would be a solid one, but Rivers, I would suspect as well.
Rivers in 08 was tied with Tom Brady for the lead with 34.
Okay.
Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck in 2014 had 40. You're missing 2017, 2016. And then we're going back to 2000, 2003, 2005. None of those guys are still playing, obviously, in the 2000s.
You wonder if Matt Stafford had a goofy year in here where he had a 43, never led the league, though?
Mm-mm.
I wonder if Carson Wentz managed to keep a lead throughout before the injury.
Mm-mm.
Ugh.
2017, 2016. How about this? Mahomes had 50 last year. 2 years ago in 2017, the total was 34, the leading total.
See, that's where my Wentz thought was there.
You can text your answers in and help us out if you want.
This is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the guy who led in 2017.
It's not Russell Wilson.
It is Russell Wilson with 34. Very good. 2016, another Super Bowl winning quarterback, dual threat guy, one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a franchise that has been lucky enough to have back-to-back great
Aaron Rodgers.
Quarterbacks.
We should have said Aaron Rodgers.
And who was the guy before Aaron Rodgers?
Brett Favre.
He led in 2003. So you got two guys left, both are retired, one in 2005 and the guy who tied Peyton Manning in 2000. Actually, Derek, you weren't here yesterday, but the guy in 2000, his name came up in trivia. Whatever day you did Detroit Lions quarterbacks, we did Detroit Lions quarterbacks, this guy's name came up in that trivia question. And we all went, really? He played for Detroit?
Dante Culpepper
had 33 touchdown passes in 2000.
Now I'm going to say the same thing. He played for Detroit?
Right. We didn't. Minnesota and Miami. So one guy, 2005, former number one overall pick in the draft. College known for producing quarterbacks. Good college quarterbacks anyway. Got himself traded out of the city that drafted him number one overall. Let's see. Had a... his first team took them into the playoffs 1 year, suffered an injury, I want to say, early in the playoff game.
This is Carson Palmer, isn't it?
Carson Palmer, 32 touchdown passes in 2005. Those are your 11 different guys that have led the league in touchdowns since then. Interesting. And the best total was Peyton Manning with 55 back in 2013. Very good. That's your instant trivia. Sal coming up next. We'll talk more about tonight's game. He's in Detroit because Sal will be on the sidelines tonight. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. We sit here and talk about sports and we talk about teams that are successful. I get to tell you about a team that is incredibly successful when it comes to a company that helps you if you have a business where you handle materials. I'm talking about Buffalo Materials Handling. It's a dynasty. It's been successful forever. It's an award-winning company with a proven track record. And if you have anything you need when it comes to handling materials, whether you need to buy or rent a forklift, or you need pallet racks or floor scrubbers or scissor lifts, or you're looking for a great service department, you need a parts department that can help you out. Maybe you need someone to provide OSHA training for your employees. They do it all for you at Buffalo Materials Handling, and they excel at what they do. They have the best service department around. I'm not just saying that. They've won the Platinum Award year after year after year, which goes out to the best service department. Factory-trained technicians available for you and your company. Things don't break down on schedule, right? Whenever something happens, 24/7, 365 days a year, you have the most reliable service department around in Buffalo Materials Handling. They cover an area from the Falls down to Erie, PA, from Buffalo. They go east of Rochester. If you've got a business and you handle materials with that business, you need to work with Buffalo Materials Handling. Give them a call to find out more. 894-6370. Again, 894-6370. We need to lift it, move it, or service it. They'll help you handle it. Buffalo Materials Handling, more than just forklifts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio in just a moment on our Wester hotline. Bills have a preseason game tonight. Quick note for everybody. If you have DirecTV, it won't be on your CBS station, but it will be on your antenna. And someone has pointed out that if you have Hulu Live, you can also potentially get it. Bills at Detroit at 8 o'clock tonight. Cam Newton, sprained ankle, maybe something more serious. He has a walking boot after sustaining an injury in their preseason game last night. Ron Rivera sat him for the first two games. Brought him out for the third. Got him hurt. Washington tight end Jordan Reed, a possible concussion. Daniel Jones was lights out again for the Giants. 141 passing, a 9 of 11 passing. Dallas, a contract offer to Ezekiel Elliott would make him the second highest paid running back in the league behind only Todd Gurley. Patriots safety Patrick Chung facing cocaine charges. Meanwhile, baseball, the Yankees lose, the Jays lose, the Mets beat Cleveland 2-0 for a sweep. I'm going to ask Howard about the Indians' tweet. The Indians' tweet at the Mets was, did you see it?
Hey.
It was, what?
What did they do?
They did something after they lost two games. It was a very strange tweet along the lines of, hey, it's no need to panic. We're doing well. Yeah, we just lost two teams to a fringe.
I know.
Two
That's
games
what it was. Okay,
to
I saw the Mets
fringe
tweet.
Playoff team.
So the Mets tweeted something about fringe playoff hashtag, and I thought, okay, where'd that come from?
The Indians.
Okay, no.
We just lost two games to a fringe playoff team. And well, so then the Mets complete the sweep, and Syndergaard said, we call that a sweep or something to that.
Oh, did he? So, I saw the Mets tweeted out them on their account about being a fringe playoff team, like making fun of the Indians tweet. I just didn't know where it came from originally.
Yeah.
Whatever. There's they are a fringe playoff team.
The social media battle.
All right, those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. Bills game tonight in Detroit. We'll have it for you here on WGR. It is a 5 o'clock pregame show, 8 o'clock kickoff. And on the postgame show, you can talk about it with Joe and with Nate. Sal's going to be on the sidelines tonight at Ford Field, and he is with us right now on our Wester Hotline. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you?
Excellent, guys. Good morning to you.
Sal's segment brought to us by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal's is writing stories for our website. So we'll get to the game tonight in a second, but do you have a story up at our website at WGR550.com? You spoke with former Bills quarterback Derek Anderson. Let's start with, what was the premise? What's the idea behind the story?
Just basically, you know, his time in Buffalo and what he thought of Josh Allen. Get some insight into, you know, what really kind of went on behind the scenes on how he helped mentor Josh Allen, what truly was his role that he was being asked to play in that process. And then really I wanted to know about his retirement, because he was not going to retire, and then obviously he did. Originally he was supposed to come back on a one-year deal, and then, you know, he didn't show up for off-season workouts, and then we found out shortly after he retired. I wanted to know what went into all that as well.
I liked your Bull Durham analogy when you were trying to get into the explanation of Derek Anderson's impact on Josh Allen.
Yeah, I actually debated. I actually put that in the story twice, took it out twice, and ultimately left it in because I didn't know if that would be too old for some of my online audience. So what do you guys think? Is that okay?
Well, for me, it was perfect. You know, I mean, if you Crash Davis nuke Lush, you know exactly what Crash Davis's role was if you've ever seen the movie. So that's why I thought it was a really great
analogy.
It's
31 years ago, though. Wow. That's the thing. I didn't even realize. Well, you know, it came out in 88.
It airs. I mean, it's available on television, so I'm sure the younger group has seen it, maybe, you know?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, and that's really what he was. He was Crash Davis to Josh Allen's Nuke LaLoosh, yeah. Ebby Calvin Nuke LaLoosh, by the way. And that is basically, he was told to come in and asked to come in and mentor Josh and, you know, be around him all the time and kind of show him the ways. And, you know, that's on and off the field. And, you know, he really, when you read this, I think, you know, after I've even read it a couple times and I kind of took a big picture look at what I wrote, just of what Derek's words were, I understand why Derek Anderson lasted in this league as long as he did. He didn't have the greatest talent. He wasn't an elite quarterback, but I think you come away appreciating and understanding how guys like that can last in this league because they understand the role they have and how important they can be to a team. You know, not everybody can embrace that role that Derek Anderson had with Josh Allen, and he did. And I think he had a part in Josh really developing last year, obviously, towards the end of the year, a big part in it.
I thought one of the things that I found interesting when you were reading Derek Anderson's quotes about his role with Josh and how receptive Josh was to the coaching, if you will, from Derek, I kind of thought about what I'm hearing about Ed Oliver. You know, here, Leslie Frazier the other day was talking about how when Kyle Williams was at training camp, and maybe, I don't know, Sal, maybe most young guys are like this as opposed to being standoffish, like, hey, I was a stud in college, what the heck, I know what I'm doing, don't bother me. But they've been talking about how Ed Oliver was clinging to Kyle Williams and would go over after a rep, would go to Kyle and ask him questions and seek information. And it sounds like, from what Derek Anderson told you, that Josh Allen operated in a similar vein with him last year, especially after he got hurt.
Yeah, and you know, I think the only difference is that Ed seems like, from what we've heard from the coaches, it kind of seems like Ed was a little bit more standoffish when he did come in. Okay. He wasn't as open to his teammates, whereas Josh kind of immediately was very receptive to Derek when he got there. In fact, Derek tells the story to me, and it's in the article, of the first game that they're in Houston together. Derek had just signed. He was on the sidelines. I remember that game. I remember seeing Derek Anderson on the sidelines with the earpiece listening, and I'm thinking, wow, they brought him here to Houston. He had just signed a few days before that. He wasn't going to play, but he said in that game, Josh basically would come right over to him and say, what are you seeing? What, you know, offense, defense? And Derek said, well, you know, I've only been here 4 days, but I'll try and help you, and here's what's going on. And he said, you know, he was really asking the right questions. And he said he would tell Josh where and when to meet him, and Josh never hesitated, and he was always there. But he really impressed upon him the value of always being, you know, never being the last person to a meeting even. And that, you know, things like that, little things that go a long way with your teammates to respect you as a leader and understand that you're there for all the right reasons and to do it the right way.
What did he have to say? I didn't realize that Derek Anderson and Ken Dorsey would have crossed paths. So what did Derek have to say about the Bills' new quarterback coach?
You know, it's funny. If you read the words, what he said was, Derek, or he said, Ken won't settle for average or worse. But the way he said it to me, he said, Ken won't settle for average or worse. Like, basically, like, oh, yeah, he's going to get up his you know what, his behind and, yeah, you know, make sure that he's doing everything. And the way he said that, and I've met Ken Dorsey a couple times. I've talked to him one-on-one, and he just seems like he's just this really kind of happy-go-lucky personality, really cool to talk to. But I got the sense from Derek that, you know, when he's on the field and he's coaching, it's about business, and he's not going to let Josh, you know, slack in any regard. So I think that was really good to hear.
Sal, tonight, while you're on the sidelines and providing commentary to the broadcast, what positions, players in particular, are you going to be keying in on?
I think wide receiver is still really up in the air, right? I mean, what is going on? I'm gonna watch what's going on, how much Duke Williams plays again. I think he's in a really interesting spot tonight. Ray McLeod, Isaiah McKenzie. I think that group of three could be fighting for one spot, maybe two spots. You know, depending. Now, if they keep seven, obviously I think the seventh guy would be a guy like Ray that would stay for special teams, be a gunner, and then obviously you can use him as a wide receiver if you need, and that guy probably will be inactive. They would choose who to be inactive each week out of that group. But they could wind up only keeping six, they could keep seven, and I think those guys are all in the mix right there. So that's a really interesting one. But then, of course, the offensive line guys. With Mitch Morse not playing again tonight, Cody Ford most likely is going to be the tackle then, with Ty Nsekhe not playing. And I think it's really interesting to see how this O-line shuffle is going to work. And look, a guy like Ryan Bates, who we've talked about, who just got here, and then they've really been evaluating him at center. You know, is he a guy that's really an option there, you know, to back up Mitch Morse? And then what do you do, you know, in the interior if you have Spencer Long and John Feliciano and Wyatt Teller and Quentin Spain, who's a starter? I mean, I just think a lot of this still has to be sorted out here. And tonight's really kind of the last chance we have, although some of these guys might actually play next week. It's not going to be the starters, but it might be guys for depth purposes to sort some of this stuff out.
You know, in the wide receivers, it wasn't too long, a few weeks ago, we were talking about, well, five guys are locked in. If they keep a sixth, here are the guys in the mix. What are the chances they keep seven?
Well, it could happen. If I remember right, I think Sean McDermott may have kept seven 2 years ago coming out of camp. I have to remember that. I have to go back and look at that. But again, I want to caution people. They keep seven wide receivers. It doesn't mean seven guys are going to be running routes on a game, right? And during a game. What it means is you probably have six, you know, normal quote-unquote receivers who are going to play. Maybe a seventh would be inactive on game day, but you keep that seventh in your back pocket as a special teams guy. And again, to me, that would be your seventh. You know, I think if Duke Williams makes the roster, he's not really a special teams guy. Right. He's probably, quote-unquote, your sixth receiver. And then your, quote-unquote, seventh receiver. And I say that because, you know, you want to just say out of the seven, your seventh guy would be a Ray or an Isaiah who can help you on special teams. They can be a return man if Andre Roberts is down or something like that. But they might be inactive on game day. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they keep seven receivers. I just think that you kind of have to detach the letters WR from the guy's name and understand that that's really going to be a special teams guy at the end of the day.
What's happening in the running back battle after the top three guys?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we saw 2 weeks ago TJ Yeldon fumble the ball, then we never heard from him again. Then last week we saw Sonoris Perry fumble the ball, and we never heard from him again. So it might come down to who just can hold on to the ball a little bit better. I think, all right, I don't know. It's going to sound maybe weird to some people, but I think Sonoris Perry is almost a lock for this roster.
Yeah.
Because, again, I think Sonoris Perry is this year's Tywan Jones. He is a guy that they want to have on this team for special teams. He does not, because you have three guys who can carry the ball. You have three guys who can touch the ball in the run game. The question is, I think, even more so, what might happen with those top three? Because as much as, yes, I think LeSean McCoy is probably the opening day starter, I don't think that's a certainty at this point. I think that, you know, you could still get yourself to a way in a spot where you say, Devin Singletary is a three-down guy. We know what he can do. And, you know, maybe by the end of the day, maybe they decide to move on. I don't think they're going to from LeSean. I'm just saying that I think that that's still a possibility that's out there. And as of right now, I think it's there's a pecking order, one, two, three. But that pecking order, it's still kind of a by committee type of deal between LeSean, Frank Gore, and Devin Singletary from what I've seen.
The one of the other spots, I think, you know, we talk about defense, Sal, and all the starting spots are locked up. And I think a lot of the depth spots are too. But one of the areas for sure, right, defensive end, are they keeping four? Are they keeping five? Because you tell me, wouldn't it appear that both Mike Love and Daryl Johnson have done enough to say they deserve a spot on the roster when it's all set?
Yes, I think that's the case. And I think now you're getting into, because of the other ones we talked about, receiver, running back. Yeah. Look, there are only so many guys they can keep for special teams, right? I mean, there's just so many numbers and the way that it shakes out. At some point, you have to trim and say, we can't keep a seventh wide receiver. We can't keep a fifth defensive end or an extra running back. So, yes, I think that is the case. But it's hard for me to see them moving from Daryl Johnson. I mean, this is a kid they invested a draft pick in this year, and he has so much upside and so much potential, and he has really flashed in these preseason games. But they like Mike Love a lot. You know, Mike Love was here last year, and, you know, he's been the fourth defensive end so far. So I could see them keeping five defensive ends. Again, where do you not keep a guy? It might be defensive tackle. I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll be looking at just four defensive tackles at the end of the day. Some teams keep a little more. As much as McDermott likes to rotate, with the packages they use now, sometimes they only put one defensive tackle on the field anyway. So maybe we get an extra defensive end, but one less defensive tackle.
I can see that, right? Because you'd have Starr, you'd have Oliver, and the two Phillips.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And I think that that is maybe how it shakes out at the end of the day. So we'll see. But, yeah, I think Daryl Johnson is a guy that they really like. And he's fighting. He's right there with Mike Love. But so far, he hasn't really taken over Mike Love's spot. You know, we'll see who is there tonight and who gets more reps and what they think about him.
Last position I want to ask about, Sal, is cornerback. Trey White, Levi Wallace, Taron Johnson, probably Kevin Johnson. What about after that?
It's a good battle, man. You know, unfortunately, Cam Lewis, the young man from UB, suffered his concussion last week. So, you know, he's not going to be able to play tonight. You know, he was right in the mix right there. I think right now it's Lafayette Pitts who has the upper hand. Now, this is a guy now that you can have as that sixth corner because you're going to keep that guy. But he also plays a very big role in special teams. So maybe that's one area where you don't have to keep a guy because he plays special teams. You know, he is a guy that could be on the field. He's a depth guy. He can play for you, but he's going to be a special teams guy. So he's right there. Denzel Rice is right there. Ryan Lewis is right there. I think Lafayette Pitts has the upper hand right now in this battle. But I think all of those guys are squarely in the mix to do this. And hopefully Cam Lewis, you know, finds his way back and can play in that fourth preseason game and still have a fighting shot to make this roster.
Have fun tonight. We'll be listening. And thank you, as always, for coming on with us this morning here.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Have a good one.
Sal's on the sidelines tonight. 5 o'clock is your pregame show from, not from Detroit, but kickoff at 8 o'clock from Detroit here on WGR. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Just found a tweet from last year in the preseason. A year ago tomorrow, the Super Bowl MVP, it would have been Nick Foles. Who would it have been 2 years ago?
2 years ago was the Eagles.
Yeah,
right? Beat Foles. The Patriots.
Yeah. 0 for 10 leading scoring drives in the preseason, and the 0-16 Browns beat the Eagles 5-0.
Yummy.
In the dress rehearsal
Woo!
Game.
That's a barn burner. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Hey, by the way, the Ravens extended their preseason winning streak to 16 games, in case you were wondering about that.
Is it time to start betting on them?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely bankroll the Ravens in
and
the fourth
they
game
won
now.
That game with Trace McSorley at quarterback.
Did they?
Lighten it up.
Yikes. Okay. So he would have outplayed. They played the Eagles, right? So he would have outplayed Josh McCown then?
McCown played. Yeah.
McCown played really well. He threw for like 200 yards in the game.
It was a real battle.
Yeah. I'm sorry I missed it. 803-0550 to join us. Talking Bills football with you this morning on WGR.
I
I got it. The accuracy is not great. But in today's NFL, it's just so important for your quarterback to be able to make a play when things break down. By any measure, Josh Allen has that. So I like that. And they've surrounded him with some talent. And Sean McDermott knows what he's doing on defense. The Bills are going to be salty on that side of the ball. I just think that this is a team that plays hard and is going to finish second.
That is Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports, who was on with the afternoon show this week. It is, oh, one, what was it? Wednesday? Thank you. It is, Derek was trying to do a, he put his two thumbs together and stuck out the fingers there to signal a W. Like, oh, he's a winner. Okay, good. Yeah, I like him. He's a good guest. He's a winner. Oh, Wednesday.
I mean,
okay.
He's a good guest.
He is a good guest.
That's not what I was going for.
We've had him on this show. I enjoyed his segment, actually. So it's in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. So that's there.
I posted a tweet bag yesterday. My favorite question, or maybe the most fun question. It was a bunch of follow-ups to people that had, you know, things to say about the news that my wife and I are expecting quadruplets. The most fun question was, at what age, and this can be universal for anybody, at what age could four kids beat you at basketball? How old would kids have to be,
and how old
for
do you
four
have to
of
be?
Them to work together to beat you at basketball?
Now, you're 40.
I'm 40.
It's 40, and I'm going to have to be 10, and you'd be 50. 10.
I said 10.
Yeah, 10. You'll be 50.
They have to.
They're 10.
No, I mean, at what age am I going to lose to 10-year-olds is the question. Would I lose to 10-year-olds now?
No.
I think, but in 10 years, I
think
I will.
In 10 years, you can, yes.
Well,
of course, you're in better shape than I am, but still.
I tried to put some analytics into this. Basically, I'm going to score in the paint every time. Like,
oh,
they're
sure.
not
you're
stopping.
You're just going to back them down.
Right. They're not stopping me.
Right.
So,
but there's four. You're playing against all four at once?
All four at the same time.
I mean, they could gang up on you. Are you calling fouls?
All you need is one sharpshooter. You know, they set some picks.
Yeah, right.
They free up that one sharpshooter. Bam.
You can't get outside.
If that 10-year-old can drain threes at 71%
or
70%, then they can undo the fact that I'm scoring in the paint every time.
Well, and you'll win the rebound battle most
likely.
Are
we playing possession? You know, winners outs? Like, that matters. Or are we alternating possession?
I think you play winners out.
Oh, well, in that case, it's going to take. They're going to have to be older than 10.
Are we
because
calling fouls?
I'm just going post up every time.
Or you've just got to happen to miss and somehow not get the ball back.
Come on.
Are we calling
blocky, happen?
Blocky chargy? You calling blocky chargy?
Call your own fouls.
Yeah, if I were you, I'd just post them up the whole game. How are they going to stop you?
Exactly.
How's your hook shot?
Who needs to hook?
Well, you just back in and hook them.
You didn't need a hook shot.
Are you just going to drive on them or just post up, turn around, shoot?
Style you do points. A lot of post moves out doing a hook shot.
I like the hook shot.
Style points.
So anyway, that's in the tweet bag. Some other fun questions. Thanks everybody that took part in it. Got a tweet here. It says, way off topic, I wore a hoodie and shorts this morning when I went to get a coffee.
It's a little cool this morning.
And then I won't say the word, the season that he mentioned afterwards. I counted how many hoodies I had yesterday.
Did you?
Just wanted to get an idea of how many hoodies I have for, hoodie season.
I kept a few in the closet throughout the summer just for the event that I might need a hoodie. You never know.
Might usually, put them away in the basement or something?
Yeah, I usually... how do I phrase this delicately? My wife monopolizes all the closet and drawer mm-hmm. space. So basically, I have literally in our closet, I have one corner of the clothing rack and one shelf. So I don't have enough room to keep all my clothing. So it's basically a swap out. In comes the spring and summer wear. Winter stuff goes into the basement. Then when we get into the winter, that stuff comes up from the bins and the racks and everything downstairs. And I ship the spring and summer stuff down. Decided to keep two or three hoodies. You never know. You know, sometimes it's cold here at work. You know, you wear a hoodie in because it might be blowing here at work. So I even thought maybe for training camp purposes, you know, sometimes it can be a little chilly in the morning at training camp when we get out there first thing of the day.
Or when you're out there for the 11 day.
Or I'm pretty sure I did take a hoodie to the Harbor Center for the 11 day power play. Because, if you're going to sit. Well, yeah, when Brayton and I did our show there that morning, I know I had a hoodie on because it can get chilly over the course of the morning. 803-0550 to join us as we talk Bills football. Hey, so should Josh Allen play at all tonight? You can share your opinion on that. I have not checked. It is a web poll as well at WGR550.com. And I should probably get an update on the Twitter poll numbers because I did that too. Okay, so I gave you three options. I was going to initially just go black and white, yes or no. Maybe that would have been better, but I kind of couched it a little bit. Yes, first half. Yes, but just two series. Or no. 37% no, 36% just two series, 27% first half.
Can we have those people call this station and talk about it with us?
You want the 53% combined?
I put a Twitter poll up, and then I did delete it because I thought it was too snarky. Is playing starters really dumb or something to that effect? Yes, or yes in a different box.
So perhaps in court they would say you were leading the witness.
Can you just admit?
No, I can't.
Not you. Is it just that you want to see it? I want to see him out there.
Yeah, I do want to see him out there.
To me,
yeah.
The best argument for why he should play is that.
But
it's just I want to see it.
I did want to see him the first two games. Now I'm just too nervous to want to see him tonight.
Just saying, I just want to see him. I get that. Okay, got it. Yeah. Perfect. You just want to see him. Yeah. I also want to see him play. But I measure that against the smart thing to do is to not have him play. Because you don't want to play Beasley.
No.
So he's not hooking up with Beasley.
Nope.
The line.
Don't want to play the entire defense.
He's playing 60% of the line because of some injuries. So.
Well, three starters in, two guys who would probably not be starters at this point.
You don't want to play McCoy or Gore.
No.
You want to play Singletary?
No.
Okay, so the top three running backs aren't going to play.
Well, because I'm sifting out the fourth string battle.
Right. Yeldon or Sonoris Perry, who's going to fumble,
that
guy's gone.
Well, or Christian Wade, right.
Yeah. We're at the point where it's not even about chemistry with anybody out there specifically. It's just that I kind of want to see it. And if that is all you're at, that I don't disagree with. Like I want to watch him play tonight.
See, that I would disagree with. Because if you want him to play tonight, it's because you believe there is value in him playing. To just see him and run the risk of injury, to me, I would disagree with that.
No, I'm saying there's no value in it. But sure, I'd like to watch it. It's like guilty pleasure TV, the preseason. It's the Bills, but it's not really the Bills. So, if it's just, hey, it's a Friday, I got nothing going on, like, throw Josh Allen out there. Toughen up. All right. But I don't have much for what the value is on it.
Well, see, I would say like the first two games, I played him because there was a value in playing him. I didn't play him because I want to see him instead of Barkley. I think he needed to be out on the field and get some snaps and play in games. To me, tonight, I'm just getting way too nervous because Cam Newton left the game last night injured. And honestly, it's not just the injury. Injuries happen. I get that. The Baltimore Ravens have their Josh Allen, and they felt there's no need to play Lamar Jackson last night, so they sat him. This is not, you get it if Drew Brees doesn't play. He doesn't need to. I'd understand Carson Wentz. He's been injured the last couple of years, so the Eagles don't want to get him hurt. Get it. Lamar Jackson didn't play. Why? I'm guessing John Harbaugh said, why would I want to put Lamar Jackson on the field? He's my starting quarterback. So between that and Newton, I just have no desire to. I don't need to see Josh Allen tonight. I saw him in the first two games. He looked good.
Frankie writes in, 100% it. I just want to see the starters. I just want the season to start.
Yeah, well.
I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, that is all of it, actually. 803-0550 to join us. Oh, we're kind of uber late here. So here's your headlines real quick since we have officially passed the top of the hour. The Bills are in Detroit. It's an 8 o'clock game. Cam Newton did get hurt last night, suffered what they're calling a sprained ankle. Washington tight end Jordan Reed was injured, knocked out. Possible concussion for him, for a guy who does have a history of concussions. Daniel Jones had another good game for the Giants. 9 of 11, 141 yards. Dallas reportedly has offered Zeke Elliott a contract that would make him the second highest paid running back, ahead of Le'Veon Bell, behind Todd Gurley. Pat safety Patrick Chung is facing cocaine charges. He will go to an arraignment next week. The Yanks lost to Oakland. The Jays lost to the Dodgers. The Mets beat the Indians and swept Cleveland. The Bisons lost to Rochester. Bisons home tonight for Pawtucket, a Friday night bash at 7:05. Those are your headlines. You can talk Bills football with us at 803-0550.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!